Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Ever get that feeling, that pull towards a friend, that what if that just hangs there at the edge of everything?
It's a powerful feeling.
It is. And today we are cracking open a book that goes right to the heart of it, a contemporary fiction novel, Emily J. Smith's Nothing Serious.
Exactly. We're talking about friendship, about longing, about trying to find something real in a world where everything feels so, well, connected, but not always in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. If you're into stories that hit close to home, stories about the messiness of relationships, then hit that like button and subscribe because we're diving deep into all of that and more.
You can find the link to Nothing Serious on Amazon right in the description. We'll be exploring the story of Edie, who is trying to find her way in the crazy world of San Francisco tech.
San Francisco tech. Wild, right?
It is. And of course, there's her relationship with Peter, her longtime friend, which is deep and intense, but not quite romantic, at least not at the start.
Yeah, all kinds of complicated. And then life throws Edie some curveballs, forces her to really look at what she wants, who she wants to be. This book asks some really big questions about connection, about what we're all searching for these days.
It really does.
So our deep dive today is all about getting into Edie and Peter's relationship. What makes it tick? What are the challenges Edie faces in her life? And ultimately, what bigger questions does this book raise about relationships and self-discovery in the 21st century?
Big questions, for sure.
They are. So, Edie and Peter, let's start there. Their history goes way back, right?
Way back to college. And right away, you sense this undercurrent, you know. Edie had feelings for Peter that weren't exactly just friendly.
Unrequited love.
That is, isn't it? And even when Peter is with Nicole, his girlfriend, Edie finds a weird comfort in thinking maybe he's not totally happy. It's like she's holding a piece of her heart back just in case.
Wow, that's interesting. It makes you think about how we measure our desires against other people's happiness. Like, if he's not happy, maybe there's a chance for us.
It's a very human thing, I think. We compare, we analyze, and sometimes we even hope for a little crack in someone else's happiness to make space for our own desires. And the way Edie sees Peter has changed over time, too. Back then, he was this skinny nerd, and now, in her eyes, he's making life work for him.
It's like he leveled up.
Right. And maybe that makes him more attractive, makes her wonder, what if things were different now? It makes you think, how much is she attracted to the Peter of today versus their shared past, you know?
That's a great question. Is it him now or the idea of what they could be together based on what they've been through?
Yeah.
We see how close they are and how they joke around, especially about Peter's CrossFit thing.
His cult, as Edie calls it.
Exactly. That easy back and forth that shows how comfortable they are with each other. And then there's Peter being all protective about who Edie's seeing on Tinder. It's funny, but also maybe a little possessive. Is it just him being a good friend, or is there something more there?
I think the possessiveness, even if he doesn't realize it, is fascinating. Could just be friendly concern, but knowing their history, knowing how Edie feels, maybe it's a subconscious thing. Like, a part of him doesn't want to see her with anyone else, even if he doesn't see her romantically himself.
Makes you wonder how often we all have those unspoken feelings about our friends. Like, we want them to be happy, but maybe not too happy with someone else.
Exactly.
And it's not just him. When Peter and Nicole break up, Edie's there for him, reminds him he was doing his best. That's real friendship, that loyalty and care. But then something changes.
The dynamic shifts. Peter, being single, suddenly opens up possibilities for Edie. That platonic gratitude, as the book calls it, turns into something else. An overwhelming need to finally formalize their closeness. That's how the book puts it. I think it's because for so long they were living parallel lives, both in relationships, and now they're both single. The what if becomes much more real, much more urgent for Edie.
It's like the barrier is gone. As long as he was with Nicole, the what if was just a thought. Now it's right there in front of her. But of course, it doesn't just magically fall into place, right? Peter goes into post-breakup mode, getting high, jumping right back on dating apps. Not exactly the romantic hero Edie might have imagined.
Not quite. And it throws a wrench in things, doesn't it? It makes you question what Peter's really looking for. Is he ready for something real or just trying to avoid dealing with the breakup? And Edie's got her own stuff going on, too. It's not like she's just sitting around waiting for him.
Okay, so let's talk about Edie's world outside of Peter. She's struggling with her job at Tixter, this tech company she sees as basically pointless.
Useless, she calls it.
Yeah, useless. She wants work that matters, that has some meaning. That's something a lot of people can relate to. What do you think this says about her overall search for purpose?
It tells us she's searching for meaning in all parts of her life, not just romantically. It's like she's looking for that missing piece, that feeling of, this is what I'm meant to be doing. And her job isn't giving her that. Maybe that's why she's clinging to the idea of something with Peter. It's like she's looking for fulfillment wherever she can find it.
Makes sense. And then you add in the whole dating app scene, which is pretty bleak. She's cynical about Tinder, has that weird encounter with the guy in the robot mask.
Yeah.
It all feels very transactional and kind of soul-crushing. Well, it's with a robot mask, by the way. It's kind of creepy.
That robot mask, it's a metaphor. It's about how we hide ourselves in the digital dating world. We create these personas, these versions of ourselves that might not be real, and it makes it almost impossible to connect on a deeper level.
It's like everyone's performing, putting on a show.
Exactly. And Edie feels like it's all just a life sentence of superficial interactions, no real intimacy.
And then there's the whole fertility thing. That doctor's appointment is a turning point, wouldn't you say?
It is. It's a wake-up call about her biological clock and the choices she has or maybe doesn't have in the future. Freezing her eggs is empowering in a way. She's taking control, making a choice for herself. But there's also a sadness to it, a sense of, this isn't how I pictured things. It's a plan B, and that's always a little bit, well, depressing.
It makes you think about the pressures on women, all the expectations around motherhood, and how much those expectations influence the choices they make.
It's a huge part of the conversation.
And Edie's constantly comparing herself to everyone else, her colleagues who are settling down, starting families. She feels like she's falling behind.
That feeling of being behind, it's so common, especially at this stage of life. There's this societal timeline, right? Get married, have kids, and if you're not there yet, it can feel like you're failing somehow, even if everyone else is just projecting an image that might not be the whole truth. And it affects her self-image, too, like that moment in the office bathroom where she's picking herself apart.
Yeah, that was rough. We've all been there. It's a reminder that no matter what else is going on in our lives, those insecurities about ourselves, they never really go away. We also get a glimpse of her friendship with Alex. And Alex is not a Peter fan.
Not at all.
So Edie's got other voices in her life, different perspectives, which is important. Sometimes when you're in the middle of something complicated, you need those outside opinions, even if you don't want to hear them.
Absolutely. Friends can see things we can't or don't want to see.
And then there's her family, her father, the alcoholic, and her mom, who's always there for her but carrying so much weight. Edie wants to give her mom a better life, and that adds another layer to everything. Her desires aren't just about finding love. They're about fixing the past, about taking care of the people she loves.
It shows how interconnected everything is, how our past shapes our desires, our sense of responsibility, everything.
And then there's Anaya, this woman Edie meets, who seems to have it all figured out, doing work that Edie admires. It feels like this is going to be important later on.
It does, doesn't it? Anaya represents a different path for Edie, a path towards independence, purpose, something Edie clearly craves. Maybe this encounter plants a seed, a possibility for something beyond Peter, beyond her current life.
Oh, interesting. And Edie's past relationship with Matt. She felt anxious all the time, like she was wearing the wrong skin. That's a powerful image.
It is. It speaks to a pattern of being drawn to relationships that aren't right for her. Relationships where she doesn't feel comfortable, where she's trying to be someone she's not. And maybe that's what's happening with Peter, too.
Like we're attracted to what's familiar, even if it's not good for us. Later on, Anaya offers a different perspective on relationships. She talks about the freedom of being single, how marriage isn't the be-all and end-all. And that seems to resonate with Edie.
It's a liberating idea, isn't it? Especially after all the pressure she's feeling to settle down. Anaya is saying, you don't need a partner to be happy. You can find fulfillment on your own. And that seems to be exactly what Edie needs to hear at this point in her life. It also comes out that some of Edie's past trauma with Matt is resurfacing, which is definitely going to affect her decisions moving forward.
It's a reminder that our past always has a way of creeping back in, especially when it comes to relationships. And even with all his flaws, all her doubts, Edie's still drawn to Peter. It's not easy to just let go of someone you have that much history with.
There's a real pull there, a connection that goes beyond just wanting to be together. It's about shared experiences, shared understanding. It's hard to walk away from that, even when you know it might not be the best thing for you.
The book also doesn't sugarcoat the egg-freezing experience. It's emotional, it's physical, and it takes a toll. It really highlights the lengths women go to take control of their fertility, of their futures.
And it challenges the way we usually talk about these procedures. It's not just a medical thing. It's a deeply personal experience. And the book shows that.
But even with all the chaos, Edie has these moments of real self-awareness. She sees her pattern of seeking validation from others, which is huge.
It's the first step toward finding that validation within herself. And then she makes a bold decision. She quits her job at Tixter. No more useless work. She's going to find something that matters to her.
That's a big move. She's choosing herself, her own happiness, her own path. And her friendships with Alex and Leah, they add another dimension to the story too. Female friendships are so complex, so full of support and challenges all at the same time.
Right. They give her strength, they offer different perspectives, and they remind us that we need those connections, those bonds with other women, to help us navigate life.
So, even without spoiling the ending, nothing serious really digs into some big themes, right?
It does.
The line between friendship and romantic love, it's blurry. It's messy.
Especially when you've got years of history and deep emotional intimacy.
And then there's the whole dating scene. Trying to find a real connection when everything is so superficial.
Yeah, that feeling of swiping and never really finding what you're looking for. It's a struggle a lot of people are facing these days.
It is. And the struggle to find work that's fulfilling, that gives you a sense of purpose.
It's a huge part of the story. The need to find meaning in what we do.
And family.
Yeah.
Those relationships are always there, shaping who we are, even when we don't realize it.
Exactly. Family is always part of the equation. Ultimately, nothing serious is about self-discovery, about figuring out what you want, even if it changes along the way, and about breaking free from those old patterns that keep us stuck in the same cycles.
It's about being honest with yourself, about what you really want, even if it's scary, even if it means letting go of what you thought you wanted.
It's about finding your own version of happy.
It's been such a pleasure diving into this book with you. What resonated most with you?
That's a great question. I think for me, it was Edie's struggle to balance what she thought she should want with what she actually desired. We can feel so much pressure from society, from our families, even from our friends to follow a certain path.
You have to check off those boxes.
Exactly. And I think Edie's journey to figure out what truly mattered to her, that was really powerful. What about you?
I think for me, it was that feeling of being stuck between the comfortable and the unknown. It's like you're on the edge of something new, something exciting, but it's terrifying to let go of what you know.
It is. It's scary. But sometimes those leaps into the unknown, those are the moments that change everything.
They are. So we want to hear from you. What were your favorite moments from Nothing Serious? Did anything in our conversation spark a thought for you? Let us know in the comments below.
Did any part of Edie's journey hit close to home for you? Share your thoughts, your insights. We love reading them. And tell us what you'd like us to deep dive into next. What books, what themes, what conversations are you hungry for? Let us know.
And if you enjoyed this deep dive, please hit that like button, subscribe to the show for more conversations like this, and share it with your friends. You can find the Amazon link for Nothing Serious in the description if you want to check it out yourself.
Maybe the biggest takeaway from all of this is that it's okay to not have it all figured out. It's okay to question everything, to change your mind, to want something different than what you thought you wanted.
Sometimes nothing serious is the most serious thing of all.
I like that.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. See you next time.